Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's, meganfrancis.substack.com. Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, and we're the hosts of The Mom Hour.
On this show, we're joined by a team of unique mom voices from across the country and in different stages of motherhood to bring you tips, ideas, and encouragement, and to help you feel a little less alone.
We all know that motherhood is a lot easier when real moms share honest truths and remind each other that it's all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to The Mom Hour. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 455 of The Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. I'm excited for today's episode. Warm up the vocal cords. This is one of those where you will be talking more.
Part of the reason I'm excited is because I need to vent about some of this college stuff. And I'm also just, I feel like you and I have talked a little bit about it here and there, but I haven't really given you the full update about what's going on with us. So this episode is going to be about supporting your college-bound kid, or maybe we should also call it supporting yourself when you have a kid who is college-bound. It's a hot topic this time of year. A lot of parents of seniors, and I have a senior, are in this spot. My senior, Owen, is deep in the throes of the decision process. He's already done, I believe, all the applying he's going to do.
Can I ask a silly question just like it's a new question because you just don't know these things if you're not in them. What is the approximate timing? Like, I know early decision stuff happens in like December, but what's happening in like, say, January through April? If you had to paint with really broad strokes, like kids are receiving decisions and then making decisions. Like, when do you have to have made your decision? Let's say a kid has a couple of options.
Well, let me just tell you.
Okay.
First of all, I want to make it really clear that this is not a, like, what you should do, how to navigate the process of getting your kid into college episode, because I have no idea.
This is not a primer, a primer.
This is not a primer. No, this is just my down and dirty experience. I think it depends a lot on how competitive your kid is, how much they care, how many schools they're applying to, and how competitive the schools themselves are. And let's just throw in another bizarro factor. This year, the free financial aid form, it's the FAFSA, it's like free application for federal student aid, I think is what it stands for.
Yes.
Got totally bungled. They did a new one. And you remember when like the healthcare marketplace rolled out?
Uh-huh.
Remember the bungle there? It's like that, but it's aimed at college. The parents with college kids. So you can only imagine the level of angst. And basically what happened is, first of all, it all got moved back anyway, because they were redeveloping the site. And then they tried to do like a soft launch around Christmas. And that was a bungle. People couldn't get into it, kept getting timed out, all this stuff. Like, the idea was it was going to be simplified, but a whole bunch of people couldn't get in. And then when it finally was up and running, they realized they had not adjusted for inflation.
Mm-hmm. I was reading about this.
They were supposed to. And the article I read basically said, we don't know why they didn't. They just didn't.
Okay.
So all the numbers, like it spits out a number at the beginning that basically says, based on what you put in here, here's what we think your family will contribute. And so you can kind of assume that the rest would get made up in grants and loans and things like that. But that number was wrong.
Okay.
And way higher. Sorry. Like, the amount that they're assuming parents should be ready to fork over is higher than what it should be, accounting for inflation. So now they had to take it back to the SCIDs, and we get emails every now and then, like, telling us when we'll hear. And I feel like now they're saying mid-March. The problem is without that information, I'm not going to say most because I really don't know, but how is a kid supposed to make a decision?
Right. Well, I was reading an article on PBS that I just found interesting that we can link to, but I guess the way normally it would be is that your financial aid offering often comes hand in hand with your admission to a school, right?
Yeah. So like, or like very shortly thereafter.
So you've been admitted to this school and
here's what we'll, here's what you're eligible for.
Here's what you're eligible for. And if we are offering any scholarship or anything like that. So it's like one decision because you have all of the information. And what you're saying is admission to college is separate, but the piece of the financial aid package and eligibility and all of that is delayed. So how are you supposed to make that decision?
Unless you were planning on paying cash and just if you got any aid, that's great. But you don't, you know, if you don't know, unless if you are hoping for, let's put it this way. If aid is going to in any way influence your decision,
right,
you can't decide. So the stress part is that the colleges all have these deadlines and like dates you have to do stuff. And of course they're all saying, we're not going to hold you to that. Like they can't, but the kids don't know that. Yeah. And especially a kid like Owen, who really takes that stuff very seriously, it's been very stressful. So he applied to the schools he was going to apply to back in, I don't know, September, October. Mm-hmm. He got a rash of acceptances within a month or so. And then we've just been sitting on it. Okay. He's been sitting and perseverating on it.
That's hard.
It's very hard.
It's any kind of limbo. I think we can all, even if we don't relate to this, like any kind of decision limbo where you know a big thing is on the horizon, but you don't know which big thing or if it's a yes or a no. It just, I find it takes a, it's like takes a toll on your physical self and the household, you know, if you're waiting for a job offer or anything.
Owen is a shell of his former self. Let's just put it that way. Well, it's maybe not that bad, but it has given him a lot of stress. And the funny thing is, I think at this point he just wants to know. He'll be fine with whatever, mm-hmm. you know, whichever decision it is, he'll be fine, but we can't really make one. We don't have the information we need to go on. So I would love to tell you how it usually looks. But the funny thing is, I don't really know because this is actually my first kid who's cared that much and who's done it all by the book. So he did all the things he had to do. He had the applications in when he was supposed to get them in. He could have made an early decision again if he'd been in a position to do that back in the fall. But that's not how it's played out. And I think May typically would be like the deadline.
I think that's right. Even I have a little bit of experience with like private school in the K-12 private school. And those is same thing, usually like decisions around March and then like commitment required by May usually.
But the funny thing about that is that even that is a moving target because Will did not have all his stuff in by May and he went to a 4-year college. It just wasn't very competitive.
So there was room for him
to fudge the timeline because he didn't care and didn't try that hard and he kind of took what he could get. So it's like, they're very different. And if you're going to like a community college, which my two oldest have both been in and out of different community colleges, you can be admitted like the day before class starts.
Right.
Like there's no deadline really, except for is school in session. Mm-hmm. Can we still make room for you in this class? Right. Yes or no. So I've had the whole spectrum. And I think what we're going to mostly talk about today is just how this current situation has impacted Owen and me, you know, via Owen, and just kind of like what I'm learning from it. But I first want to just touch on how different this has looked for each of my four adult kids, because every single one of them has in some way entered the college system. And I have had to support them through that. And also I have had some hassles and annoyances with each of them, but they've all looked really, really different. So just briefly, my very oldest just went off to community college for art, of all things. He's 26 and he just finally decided this is what he wants to do. Now it is a community college, but it's pretty far away. And he's living on campus. So he's really getting a lot of the benefits of
like a university or a college campus.
And leaving, you know, he really needed to branch out and spread his wings a bit, but he's loving it. And it took eight more years than I thought it might. Isaac took classes at, I'm going to say, three different community colleges, but has also worked ever since getting out of high school and he just prefers to work. So mm-hmm. it's been also kind of fun to see that, like, okay, is he ever going to land back in school, or is it just that he likes the working? And I know that you and I have talked about this in previous episodes, but also just, this is Isaac, and he's really, really smart, loves to read. He like got amazing scores on his SAT. He forgot his calculator and still got like a 1400 on his SAT. So like, you would have thought he would be that kid, that he would be like ready to go. And for whatever reason, just not so much. Now, I'm not saying it'll never happen. Maybe it will. But so far, that's not been his thing. Will, like I said, took the easiest possible route to four-year college. I think he had a lot of fun his first year. Mm-hmm. But his performance was not sufficient that I wanted to assist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was a lesson he honestly had to learn, because, mm-hmm. you know, that was not going to happen. So that wasn't for him. This was not part of his journey to continue there. And he's about to go join Isaac at his job. So they're going to be working together, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Owen. And so far, he's the one kid who has done everything by the books, which I think is what parents think they want. But let me tell you, that brings you a whole different level of parental involvement, decision-making, all the things, right? It's not like, oh, my kid is doing all the work. Like, he's been great about following through with the process on his own without me needing to hound him about it at all. That's all great, but nothing comes without its downsides.
Yeah. Well, and he's also navigating a new system for the very first time. So even a bright, motivated kid, it just doesn't have experience filling out all these forms and like applying. Yeah.
And I don't have experience with this kind of process either.
Right.
Like, I know how to get a kid into like last minute you. Like, where the mascot is like, I don't know, a guy playing video games going, I don't know, like that. Yes, I know how to do that. I do not really know how to live in this world of something, even though the colleges he's applying to, it's not like they're ultra competitive schools, but he's just in a different echelon with the uh-huh. amount of work he's putting in and what he's hoping to get out of it and all that. It's just different. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So, he's had a few colleges, like I said, that he identified one of them over a year ago. That one's actually in Japan, which was a big part of the draw for him. He's worked really hard to keep his grades up. He took like the AP classes, the honors classes, he took his SATs twice. It's been actually an interesting obsession for him, but the fact that one of the schools is actually not even in this country, you can only imagine the additional layer.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine.
Like
yeah.
question mark, because I'm like, okay, there's calculators. I can translate yen to USD, but that doesn't tell me anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it costs to live in Tokyo. You know, I don't know. I can't even in my head calculate the other costs that I'm not even thinking of, like mm-hmm. getting a visa. The matriculation fees are different. Are books priced differently there? There would be limits on how much he can work. There's so many. I don't even know what he could earn. Like if he went and got a student job, is it what would it be like commensurate with what a kid earns here? I don't think so. I think it's less. So there's like a lot of questions and I would say he's a little fixated on all of it.
Oh my gosh. It's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Sarah, we both know this time of year can be crazy. So this is a great time to get ahead with no prep, no mess meals from our sponsor Factor. I love how these meals are ready to eat and delivered right to your door. I mean, you can't beat that convenience, but most importantly, they're seriously delicious.
Yeah, Megan, I agree. Our whole family was impressed with the quality and flavor of Factor meals we tried. And it turned out to be a great option for my teenagers when they got home late from a theater practice or came home from school super hungry. There's zero prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Factor meals just need to be heated for about 2 minutes and they're ready to go.
Yeah, and for any listeners with wellness goals this month, Factor has 6 menu preferences to support your lifestyle. Whether you're trying to boost your protein, avoiding meat, or simply focusing on well-balanced meals. And you can pause or reschedule deliveries to fit your lifestyle.
Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. Head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code MOMHOUR50 at factormeals.com/MOMHOUR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
We are welcoming back Vionic as a sponsor today. And Sarah, I will be honest. I was sorting through my warmer weather wardrobe the other day, and it could seriously use a refresh. But you know what's good to go? My shoes. I've got a great selection to choose from thanks to the Vionic Vitals collection. And lately, the pair I keep putting on again and again is the Uptown Loafer. I have two pairs, one in sand suede and the other in camel leather. But please don't make me pick a favorite.
Oh, I won't. I'll let you keep both. That's so funny, Megan, because I was a little jealous of your Uptown loafers. I was the last one on our team to get a pair, but I just did. I also got mine in the sand suede, and I think I've worn them like four times this week. They really finish off a cute spring outfit. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for spring. And no matter what shoes you choose, you'll be on the go in comfort because every single pair of Vionic shoes delivers their trademark VioMotion technology for a difference you can feel. Vionic sandals, sneakers, and flats all offer incredible support, stability, and cushioning, and every pair comes with a 30-day risk-free trial, so it's easy to try them out.
Use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's a one-time use only. Vionic shoes. Wearable well-being for your feet.
All right. So that was really helpful kind of hearing about really not just Owen, but also his three older brothers and everybody's kind of individual journeys. What have you seen all of them grapple with while they go through this process of deciding and figuring out what's best for them? And how do you think that's different maybe from what we experienced? Oh, I don't know. Decades ago.
I know. I think I've mentioned this before, but it constantly surprises me that every single one of them has been fixated on money to a degree that I never was. I knew college would be expensive, but I was kind of like, probably it's a good thing. They're more fixated. They've learned, they're more educated about mm-hmm. college debt, but almost to a paralyzing degree where mm-hmm. I have to be the one going, guys, seriously, like, I've not highlighted money as the reason to go to college, but I'm also not highlighting it because you can make money in lots of ways. You can make great money in trades. And I don't think money should be the one reason that you go to school. But I also don't think it should be the one reason you don't go to college.
Right.
And that's the message they have somehow internalized, whether because, well, I could tell you some stories they've told me about teachers who have said things in class that I'm just like, seriously, like, you're a teacher. You probably went to college. Right. You know, like almost deterring them from taking on even a small amount of debt to go. And I'm like, it just feels very limiting and creating stress that doesn't need to be there, even though I don't love college debt either. But
It's,
you know, it's there's the stories you hear about someone who got like $400,000 in debt to become a social worker that they'll never pay off.
Right.
And then there's people who took out a really small and reasonable amount and were smart with their money and able to pay it off and got a decent paying job. So there's like both ends of the spectrum exist, but one is more represented in the fear-based stuff, which I find it's been really striking, especially because it's not like I haven't been hammering to them like, well, you guys better get a bunch of money because I can't pay anything. And like, I really have kept that conversation. And even if I've been in a times like when I was newly single where I was like, man, I'm just not going to have a lot of money to put toward this. They know that there's options. Like they know that there's ways to make things happen. So I just think it's just interesting.
Yeah. It sounds like it's just kind of in the air. And then it maybe gets blown slightly out of proportion or significantly, depending.
Yeah.
On, yeah.
If you're on social media, particularly, I think Facebook, it's no surprise to you that a lot of people are talking about early decisions and there's like all that social pressure to like post your kid with the jacket hoodie from their college of choice, like, yeah, hoodie or whatever of their college that they're going to go to. Now, I don't feel like that really made any difference to me with my older three because I was just like, whatever, they're not going to do it anyway. So I don't care. And I don't think they cared. But Owen, he's much more of a rule follower. He did the thing. Like he did the thing in school. He got the grades. Followed the deadlines. He did the assignments he didn't want to, like all the things. And now he wants to see his just rewards.
Right. Like,
where's my prize? And so for him, that has led to a lot of fixation. Now, on the other hand, with my other kids, I think that pressure around academics actually led them to discount their options too soon. Like, they gave up without trying. I really think all three of them could, if they had wanted to and had tried to, could have gotten into programs that they would have been excited about. But it was kind of like they were like, well, we weren't that good a student, so never mind. And I...
I'm going to jump in. So, like, maybe they were getting C's or they were kind of, like, checking out. And then they just, like, they picked up the message that, like, well, I guess I'm not college bound. Like, too
college
early.
Is really hard to get into now, so I shouldn't, bother.
Interesting.
I'll never forget Jacob took some kind of career aptitude test in, eighth grade, ninth grade, something like that. And the jobs that came back for with him, one was like, I'm not even joking, Sarah. One was like coal miner. And then the other one said military. And then in parentheses, infantry. I was like, really? I mean, nothing is wrong with either of those jobs, but that kid, not that guy. Like, that is not right. And also, why would you even give a kid, like, at an impressionable age, like, a list of 10 jobs and start pushing them toward that? I'm sure it's very well-meaning. Maybe it's supposed to expand their minds about what's possible, but kids take that stuff pretty seriously. And you can't really... When someone tells you, like, your options are to be in the infantry or a coal miner, which isn't even a thing you can be where we live.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's, like, very specific. And not to take anything away from that worthy work, but, like, it's not an accessible option for a lot of 18-year-olds. Like, it doesn't mean it. It's, like, an imaginary job for many.
It's imaginary. Not for those who actually do it. But, like, he, you know, at the time was, like, 12 or 13, and I thought, what is he supposed to do with this information? All it's done now is limit him to what... Neither one of those jobs require any training outside of high school, like, finishing high school. And probably, I mean,
he answered a couple of questions like that. Well, not to put it back on Jacob, but, well, maybe it was like, how willing are you to do any additional...
Go into a hole and, well, could have been like that. Like, do you like danger? And maybe, who knows? Like, I'm sure whatever his answers were, there was a reason why those things came up. And, you know, again, it's not about the money. It's nothing to do with that. I just remember thinking, okay, well, this is very strange to me. Like, this is so specific. It would be kind of the same as telling someone you should be a doctor or a lawyer, and that's all.
Right. It's too limiting. Yeah. To, or like, a surf instructor or a pop star. It's like, okay, well,
star, a ballerina.
Like, what do I do with that information? Yeah.
A ballerina or a nurse, like little girls want to be sometimes. Anyways. Okay. So that's like a sidetrack, but I do think, even with all of the, and I think my kids had really good teachers, and it's not a slam against, like, the education they got. And I think we were pretty chill about not suggesting that there was a path that was better than another path, or that, like, they couldn't be successful without, you know, with or without school. I absolutely believe post high school, anybody can be successful. And I think that's the message I always wanted to get across. But I now kind of look back and go, man, I wonder if I could have been a little more encouraging, or just given them more information. Like,
like reality checked some of the assumptions they were making almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really hard with teenagers now that I have a couple, is because you don't want to be, they have these limited worldviews, and then they have these big opinions that they get that are, like, only partially
formed. They
haven't
earned necessarily.
Yes, exactly. Yes. They're like based on, like, a kernel of reality, but, like, they don't have context or perspective. And yet, at least I'll just speak for myself, not you. I do know that I am not the best person to be constantly crapping on their, like, newly formed, sometimes passionate ideals. First of all, it's not going to be productive. They're not going to hear it from me. I don't want to create antagonism in the relationship. So then you just end up with these, like, I don't know, kind of pompous people wandering around your house with, like, what's that word? Like, you know, like a, they've got big things to say and they're only partially true.
Yes. Yeah. But they don't want to hear what you're necessarily. Yeah. And I feel like I've done with teenagers and young adults. I feel like I do so much of like, well,
right.
That's one way of looking at it. But have you thought about, I mean, my conversations, like, I feel like I'm always reshaping and reshaping and reshaping. Yeah. And that's fine. And I also think, you know, I don't want to talk too much about college culture, because we've covered that in other episodes that we can link up in the show notes. But I also want to say that, like, all families have different expectations around this. And I think in our family, it was always like, if college is what you think you want, it is absolutely on the table. You can do that. But I expected them to want it enough to, at the very least, start the conversation, or at the very least, get the ball rolling, go talk to their counselor, do a little research, anything, right? And if they didn't, I wasn't going to meet them more than halfway. Like, or even, I guess I would have met them more than halfway if they'd taken even one step.
Right.
But to me, the diminishing returns of investing myself financially or emotionally in something that my kids aren't into did not seem worth it. And that's a lot to do with my priorities and my experience not being someone who ever finished school and did fine, you know. So there's just a lot that goes into that. And I don't think any of them are wrong or right, but you can allow that to shape the way you approach college. I think it's rooted in your family's values, and it doesn't mean you're anti-education if you're not, if you don't have that expectation. It might just mean that there's a different value that's kind of winning out.
Yeah, totally. So how has Owen's experience then been different this past year than what the other boys went through?
I mean, besides caring.
Yeah.
A lot.
The first one who cares a lot.
Who cares a lot. Well, there's a couple things. We already talked a little bit about the angst, about the waiting and the angst. And that, I mean, the FAFSA thing has been really hard. I mean, he changes his mind every other day because he's waiting too long. So that's hard. And because he doesn't have the information he needs, and that's hard, but he does have access to things like YouTube channels where people talk about the college process or how you should, you know, choose a college. Mm. And he obsesses. Like, he's
okay.
So that's been really hard. And just the length of time we've been talking about it, well over a year at this point. Mm-hmm. And that there's actual decisions being made, and we're weighing, like, we're putting a lot of really grown-up thought into those decisions, and I'm seeing him process that grown up thinking. I think it's all really good, but it's been taxing. The other thing I think has happened this year, and I've kind of watched it happen over the last 6 months, and again, I think this is all great growth, is maybe some growing up on his part. I don't just think this, I know this. I really think he thought if he just got good grades, we would, like, take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. Like, things would just fall into place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he'd get to do whatever he wanted. All the worlds would open up to him. And I hate to break it to him, but they weren't that good. Like, the grades were good. And I keep telling him that. I'm like, Owen, you really did it. Like, you've done really well in school. I am really proud of you, and I appreciate your effort. But it's not that good. It's not good enough for you to now ride on that. Like, you still have to do something else. Like, something, you're like one of the top kids in your small town high school class, graduating class, but you're not the top kid, and you're not the top kid in the county. You're not in the top 10 in the county. You know what I mean? And it's not like, I'm not chastising him for that. I'm just saying that's the world. If you want to enter a competitive world, where you're trying to get money or other rewards for your performance, you have to be realistic about what your actual performance will get you. It's like, you have to kind of know where you are in the scope. And that, I feel almost mean saying that, or like I'm not giving him enough credit. And that's not it at all. I think what I'm saying is, like, you don't just get to sit back and rest now. That's not how the world works.
Right. Yeah. Like, this is one piece of it, but not the entire, it's not a transaction. Like, I put these grades out for you. You deliver
to me college.
Yeah.
Exactly the college I want. And the experience I want. And I also don't want to work food service in the summer. I mean, we've had conversations where I'm like, okay, well, if you don't want to work food service in the summer, I don't want to pay your college tuition bill. How about that? Like it's, there's definitely been some entitlement that I think he's had to sort of grapple with. And it's been interesting to watch it and challenging, very challenging.
Can I ask maybe what seems like a funny question? Where and when do these conversations come up? Is he, like you mentioned, a YouTube channel? Like, is he sort of perseverating on his own and then popping up and sort of verbal vomiting a bunch of anxiety toward you? Is he, is it like daily, or is he having more bigger, not meltdowns, but do you know what I mean? Like, how, what shape are these conversations having?
They are daily.
Okay.
They are usually toward the end of the evening.
Okay.
He will come down into the living room if I'm sitting down there, or maybe it'll be ready for dinner.
I'm picturing you like tensing up just as you, because now you know it's coming.
And I'll make I'll say something like, hey, what's going on? Or how was your day? Anything. I could just look at him and open my eyeball. And it's like, well, I thought about it. And then he just goes into whatever the thing of the day was. He goes into it. I actually had to tell him we weren't going to talk about it for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because without more information, at this point, it's unhealthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing more to say. Yeah. And it was getting so ridiculously theoretical. For example, he came into my bedroom one night and I'm like slumping down. You know that when you're done and I'm like sliding down lower and lower, my contacts are out. And he's talking about what pants he'll buy if he goes to Japan, because he would need different pants. I don't know. And finally, I'm like, Owen, first of all, if that's where you decide to go, that's like a long ways off. We don't need to think about your pants right now.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to that level of detail where like this could be better than that, but that could be better than this. And like, and we don't even yet know if he could even go there. Mm-hmm. And now he's not even sure he wants to go there, because now he's kind of talked himself out of it and into it so many times. You know how when you've talked yourself in and out of something so many times, then the brain pathways are set so you can flip it like in a half second.
Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. Yeah.
He's flipping in an hour. He's gone from this option because now it's all the grooves are there for him to make the switch. And I think once we have a decision made, it's going to be great, because whatever decision we go with, he's going to be like, yep, that's it.
I have so much compassion for that kind of like busy brain that happens when there's nothing for you to do. There's no action to take. So I feel for him and I feel for you too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a lot. But right now we are, the ban has been lifted. We're talking about it again. But okay. I did tell him it would be wise for him to set himself a deadline, like a decision deadline. And maybe that can't happen till the numbers come in. That's fine.
Yeah.
But like, I'm hoping that if the deciding deadline's out there, he won't feel like he has to decide every single day. And I think that's what he's doing right now. Now he feels like every day is a decision day, but none of them are the decision day.
Right.
They're just one of many, because there's going to be another one tomorrow.
Yeah. We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero-sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no questions asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing 1 packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKLMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour.
Okay, I started to kind of poke at this a couple of minutes ago, Megan, by asking like how you react when he brings these things up. But let's really dig into the motherhood experience of having a college-bound kid. I want you to talk about all of it, I guess. But what do you think your role is in this process? How has it kind of evolved and how has it challenged you?
Yeah.
And I'm like literally asking for a friend who is me, because this is my, you know, next few years. I'm just behind you in this process. And I think the parenting experience of this sounds really challenging.
One of the things that I think has been the most challenging about it is that the 3 schools that he chose are they're very, very different reasons. One would take him to the other side of the world. And it's not a super competitive school, but he would just be going there to get to live in Japan. Mm-hmm. One would be very close to home. And he would basically be going there because he could probably get, we don't even know this for sure, but we're thinking he could get kind of a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And he's got cousins who go there. So it's like that family connection. Yep. That I think it's like the one that probably feels the most comfortable to him. Mm-hmm. And the least scary. And then there's one that's more academically challenging. It's kind of a nerdy school. It's far away, but not Japan far. Mm-hmm. And really good job placement outcomes, things like that. Okay. I mean, they couldn't be more different.
Right.
And so I have I know which one I want him to go to.
Okay. Are you willing to go on record in this podcast or no?
Yes. I want him to choose Michigan Tech, which is the one that's in the UP.
That's the third one you talked about. That's farther
the third
away.
Third one I talk about. But not Japan far. In a place that I think is awesome. And they have a great engineering program, which he's just discovered that maybe he might have the kind of brain that would be good for engineering. I mean, this is the kind of thing. Like when you're talking
you're
about
like,
a kid.
I could have told you that when you were 5.
Right. I mean, like when you're talking about like kids who just only have a little piece of information or a bias, and you're just like, seriously, like, listen to yourself. Like, Owen, I don't want to tell him he should be an engineer, but I'm looking at him thinking, okay, like, this is you. So that's where I, like, if I consider all the factors, that's what I think. Now, I got really excited initially about Japan. I think that's awesome. Who wouldn't want to go live in a different country? But it started to kind of fall apart for me. Along the way, for multiple reasons. That isn't to say that if he decided that's what he wanted to do, that I wouldn't support it. I 100% would. And I think it'd be great. Like, I think it'd be such a great experience. It'd be very challenging for him. The one that I feel like the most kind of meh about is actually the one that's closer to home, which is where I went. And I think it's a great school. I just think he'd be choosing it for the safest of reasons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think he could stand a little bit more of a challenge.
Yeah.
Again, this is all my opinion. So what I'm trying not to do is let my opinion either color the overall conversation or like sway him one way or the other, too much one way or the other.
Yeah.
I'm not like the kind of mom who would typically put pressure on a kid to do something just because it's what other people do. If anything, the opposite.
Yeah.
But once someone's shown interest in something or I see the excitement in it, I can kind of go into like cheerleader mode. Mm-hmm. And they're just people. They get to change their minds. Right. Yeah. So like there's a balance. I don't know if I even answered your question, but that's where I'm like the role right now, I feel like, is to listen until as much as I possibly can before I want to chew my arm off, and then to offer some perspective, like, well,
yeah,
you know, this is just 4 years. It's not the rest of your life, for example,
right.
Or, it would be great if you could go to school in Japan, but there's also other ways to accomplish that goal without going to that school, if that's right. What you choose. Like, you know, so there's, I think just reminding him of all of his options is probably another role that has been actually helpful to him,
because
he doesn't think that way. He tends to kind of get in a box and not mm-hmm. see outside the box.
Well, it is, and it sounds like you're constantly having to put balance to balance your own, like you said, excitement and enthusiasm, or on the other end of the spectrum, concern, reservation, and just sort of temper that and then ask more open-ended questions, or, you know, which, yeah, is challenging. I feel like when our kids are little, we become, or maybe just me, but we become pretty good at swaying them when we need to toward a certain thing. For example, you find out that, you know, the store is out of chocolate ice cream. So you start doing a really clever hard sell on like cookie dough ice cream, and like, oh my gosh,
Yes. Absolutely.
And we get really good at that. I mean, is it a little manipulative? Sure. It definitely is. And we are able to pull those persuasion tactics out of our toolkit when our kids are small, because it helps us get through the day. And because we know that if they get cookie dough ice cream, they're going to be just as happy as chocolate. So we put some spin, some car salesman spin on things. But that, it's like, that would not serve you in this case. Like, he is a young adult making adult decisions. You have your opinions, which you're allowed to share, but you're not going to like do jazz hands for Michigan Tech. Because he's old enough and smart enough that I feel like that would probably backfire.
It would be obvious. Now, I will say we got invited to like a special dinner that I think was only for recruits, let's just say, that were a certain GPA. Like, mm-hmm. Not everybody got this invitation, but it also wasn't super exclusive. There were hundreds of other families.
Medium exclusive.
But I made a point of saying, we should just go to that. I said, it'll be a good experience. We should just go. Let's just go see what it's like and get some free food. And it swayed him. Like, being courted swayed him. I didn't really have to say much. Like, I just said, oh, this is really cool. Oh, isn't this, you know, beef kebab so delicious? And at one point he's like, Mom, you're like really into this. I said, oh, free food is great. Like, you know, so I do feel like I can. And he probably knew I was selling him too. He's smart. He's not going to miss that's what's happening, but he also was into it.
Yeah.
And it was funny because somebody got up at the beginning and said, you know, we've handpicked all of you in this room. We've handpicked. And on the way home, he's like, do you think we were really handpicked? And I was like, well, if by handpicked, you mean they put you all in a computer.
Right. There was like a sort feature in the Excel spreadsheet.
It's like zip code and GPA. Baby GPA. And then they just hit like merge or something. Yes, absolutely. You were handpicked. And he kind of laughed and he was like, yeah, I get it. But still, the fact that he was even chosen for that made an impression. And so I'm not below doing a little manipulation, but I try not to do it. I try to be a little more savvy than we were with the ice cream.
Yeah.
When they were 4 years old.
I saw a great I think it was an Instagram reel back when I was on the Insta, which we'll talk about that next week. Lisa Damore, who's a parenting author that we've mentioned many times, had a little video. It was around the time when people were getting those early decisions back. And it was really short and simple, but she was just saying like her advice to parents is to be neither more excited nor more disappointed than your kid is at any one of these college acceptance junctures. Like, and that I think is so true with so many things with our kids. Like, we feel invested and we feel hopeful and we have our opinions. So it's very tempting to, if they say, oh man, like I didn't get that scholarship or I didn't get into this one, to be like, oh my gosh, oh no. Like, are you okay? You know? And her point was like, you can match the kid's actual emotions, and be on the more neutral side of whatever their extreme is. And I thought that was just good advice.
Yeah. I think that's really smart. And I think part of me wonders how differently this would have gone if Owen had really stretched. I think the fact that he chose that school in Japan that we knew he'd get into, it was more, the stretch wasn't in the getting in. It was more in the, oh my gosh, this is like a huge thing.
Japan. Yeah.
I kind of wonder how differently this might have played out if he'd really applied to schools that he might not get accepted to. I wonder if that was intentional. And I didn't say, oh, you should really push yourself and you should really, you know, because I was like, well, he's already really pushing himself just with the choices that he's making in how he's doing this. And I don't feel like pushing yourself has to include applying for schools you might not get into just to do it. Like, that doesn't, I feel like that's, what's the point? You know, right. What's the point? But I do think that that adds a whole nother layer. So if you're a parent right now whose kids have been getting rejections because they applied to schools that were a real reach for them.
Yeah.
That's like a really different, like, then there's rejection going along with it. And that's like a whole nother, that's like a whole nother thing to deal with, which in our side, it's more like the decision-making and possible disappointment if something just won't pan out logistically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do want to mention money, because I think that this is something that, like, it's the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. We all want to support our kids, but I will be helping financially. So I feel like my opinion has a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And we don't have like endless amounts of money. So it's like, how, one thing I've been trying to figure out is like, how do I help him understand that commitment and that financial investment piece without making it sound like money is everything?
Yeah.
Or for him to feel pressure or guilt, which I do think the pressure and guilt comes very easy to him and natural to him. And I don't want to heap that on. So I've kind of had a couple times where I've said things to him like, okay, let's just say the school that you really, really want to go to tonight, which might be different than the one you want to go to tomorrow, but or in an hour.
Yeah.
But let's just say we find out, we get all the financial aid letters back, and there's like a $10,000 per year shortage. And this is just a made up number. It's a round number. There's a shortage of $10,000 per year between what we're able to do for you and this college, right? Mm-hmm. And only a $2,000 shortage with this other school. Do you want to cover the spread? Like, how much do you want it? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think he's accustomed to thinking that way. He's accustomed to thinking, I can either do it or I can't.
Right.
Like, either mom and, you know, either mom and dad and are going to cover it, or like they're not and it's not an option. And I think what I was saying is like, it could still happen. There's still maybe a way that that amount could get covered. But are you going to work 80 hours a week this summer? Are you going to do things you don't want to do? Are you going to work while you're in school? Like all these questions that I think most parents these days have to ask kids. And kids might not have any idea. They have no, they don't know how money works. They have no perspective. Like they don't get it at all.
Yep.
And it means even less when it's the parents doing it, because they think we're all richer than God. Like they don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that that can be part of the conversation. And I don't think it has to be any more limiting than the world is limiting already than reality, you know? But I think I feel like sometimes I get in conversations where parents are like afraid to have an opinion about the money part. Like it'll be discouraging to their kids. They're like, my kids should get to follow their dream. And I said, yeah, absolutely. But how much, what are they willing to do?
Yeah. Yes.
Do they know what they're willing to do?
Right.
Do they even know that they might be called upon to do something?
It's right.
Part of the conversation as they become young adults.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Well, what else are you learning through this process? What else can you pass on to us?
Well, I have a couple that fall under the, like, it's all going to be okay umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Our favorite umbrella.
I'll come stand under your, it's all going to be okay umbrella.
I want a graphic of that now. I want a coffee mug yes. with an, yeah.
Oh, okay. I bet there's somebody listening who's like really good with graphic cards who can do this one. Mm-hmm. Okay. So two things come to mind. One is that I really try not to talk about, and this in front of Owen, in front of Clara, who's going to be going through this whole thing again, or if she either will or she won't, but whether she will or she be, or she won't, 3 years, we're like 3 years out. Right. So I try not to talk about my other kids or my nieces and nephews or other kids that are in our sphere or, you know, their friends or whatever, any of their entries into or out of college as like a failure, a waste of time, a waste of money. This went right. That didn't go right. It's so loaded. And Owen in particular, his personality is such that he makes it very loaded. So he really compares himself against other people. He's made little comments like, but I'm the only one. I'm the only one who did this like right. And I have to say, okay, well, let's not go. I mean, that's not true. And that's not the message that I've wanted you to get. So hopefully he's not picking up on that subconsciously. And of course, how could he not? Like how the world we live in, how could he not be picking up on the message that by doing things in this order, he's done it right. I get where it's coming from. And I try to sort of counteract that by talking about the things that people do after high school as just trying stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, they did that and they did a year and they decided that wasn't for them right now. So they moved on and did something else. And that's all great. And look, like, he's got a cousin right now who's not going to go back next year. He's decided he went to his freshman year. Wasn't for him. He's going to go back toward home and go to a community college for a year. And I'm like, that's such a great choice. What a great choice for him. And then the other cousin who's staying, what a great choice. That's such a great choice for him. Because I do feel like the way we talk about this stuff,
I agree.
Even the nonverbal communication that we put around this stuff, and we probably all do it without even intending to. So I just try to counteract it with other messages.
Yeah. I think that's so smart. I'm thinking about our listeners who have, I don't know, grade school age, early middle school age kids. I feel like that is something you could normalize starting now, just whenever you see and hear about young adults out in the world. Like it takes an active, it's like an active challenge to counteract that very presumptive, very narrow definition of young adult or college success. So
yeah, it's definitely not something I'm always the best at. And even though, like, even though I truly don't believe that you have to go to college to be successful, I still find myself buying into that, that like norm, that that's what you're supposed to do, even if it's like totally subconscious. So I just try to counteract it. And then I guess the other thing I try to keep in mind and would encourage everybody to keep in mind is that you just don't know where a kid's path is going to take them. Each of my other kids have started down one path and then switched multiple times. And this could also happen with Owen. Like he could go someplace and then after a year be like, he could go to Japan, for example. And then after a year say, I didn't like it, coming home, I'm going to do something totally different. And just because that's not been how he's been, I don't want him to feel trapped because he's made such a big deal about this.
Yeah.
It would be like when I insisted that I was good at cheerleading, but I really wasn't. If then, you know, 2 years after I'd made my parents watch me like go to all these games and things like that and be a really bad cheerleader, if like I'd been afraid to tell them I wasn't going to be a pro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like I put them through all this. And now she's not going to do it anymore. And it's not the same thing, but you know what I mean? Like he gets to be who he's being right now. Like he gets to go through this journey the way he's going through this journey. And in some ways it's made us closer. It's given us a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are BFFs.
We are BFFs right now. I mean, we're spending a lot of time in conversation and I can really see the maturity that is changing. And like, I can see how he's changed. I think that's really cool. And I will also just say, in my experience, having a kid who's 24 and one who's 26, they, you know, I've heard that brains mature around 25 and I am 100% seeing that in my older kids. So if you're listening to this and you've got a young adult and you're like, there is no way, like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine this kid even tying his own shoes every day, let alone being able to figure out how to juggle a college, college schedule or something. They've got time. And yeah. I want us to give them that time, but give ourselves that time. Like, we yeah. also don't have to be done. We don't have to be done getting them ready. There's yeah. still a little, there's still a little gelatinous. They still got a yeah. soft fontanelle, you know, like yeah. give yeah. them a little more time to cook.
I love that. I was also thinking about, like Owen having three older brothers and how much moms obsess and worry over birth order stuff of like, you don't want the younger one to like be pegged as this, or you don't want right. these, like the older one to like have all the pressure of a firstborn. I just think your family is a very good reminder that like, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, I can see so many birth order families where, let's say, older brothers went and did things on the straight and narrow and the predictable path and or were really successful. You could have a third or a fourth boy in a row who like was just helpless because of the pressure to perform in a different way. And then you have Owen who feels the pressure because he think, in his words, I'm not saying this is true, but in his words, like, he's the first one who's like done it. What did you say? Done it right. Or done right. it like the correct way.
The correct
so
way,
it's like,
yes.
no matter what, younger siblings will compare to olders and find a way yes. to heap pressure on themselves that we didn't ask them to. We did not, we tried our very best to not have this younger sibling comparing or whatever. It's just, it's like, it's
they
so funny.
Help
like
themselves.
We, you can't, and we can't do anything about it. I feel like, I hope that lets moms off the hook because we, I mean, I think a lot of us really obsess over this whole, like the roles of the sibling and this one's going to turn out this way because this other one took up all the air in the room because of this, you know, it's just yeah. like, you can do that all day long, but
they're humans and they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to grapple for position.
Yep.
Even if all the resources are there and abundant.
Like, yep. And even if you say all the right things
yes.
and like counterbalance all of the messaging and yeah.
Yeah.
I guess unless you just don't give your kids any siblings, that's an option. But that, well, you know.
I mean, that is one way to head that off, but then they'll yeah. probably find someone else to compare themselves to. So yeah, you can't get away without it.
No. But as you were saying, it's all going to be okay, right?
Exactly. Exactly. In the end, we all do it. So we're all, they'll be just as okay as we are. So take that however you'd like, right?
Yeah. That's a good place to just, yeah, put a bow on it. I wanted to mention, we have an episode from August of 2022 called College Plans and Family Culture, Hopes, Dreams, Memories, and More. That episode, we actually got in a lot deeper into what we remember growing up, like what we thought college was going to be, whether we were yeah. expected to go to college. And then we talked about how do we talk to our younger kids? Like, how does the role of college play into like everyday conversation in our families? And both of our families were a couple years younger when we did that episode. I think that would be a great one to pair with this if you have younger kids, especially, and you're like, oh, I haven't, like, I don't even know what my kids think about college. Like, do my kids even know what college is? Like,
right.
how do we talk about it in our family? I remember really enjoying that conversation when we had it. So we will
Me
link
too.
That up. Yeah. And thank you for just shining the light on your and Owen's experience. And now everybody will need to know what the decision is when the decision happens.
Well, he's going to be walking in the door from school in about, I don't know, 20 minutes. So who knows what I'll find today.
A new challenge awaits
Maybe he'll
you.
Have come up with a totally new, a new idea, a new plan, new application process.
California
I don't know.
Or bust.
Oh my gosh. He's your problem if that happens.
Gosh. All right, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to The Mom Hour. Everything we talked about in today's episode is available at themomhour.com. And hey, while you're there, you can find more than 500 podcast episodes, plus articles, playlists, and resources about motherhood and parenting at every stage.
And if you like today's episode, we'd love it if you would take a minute to share the show with another mom in your life. You can also find us on Instagram at The Mom Hour, chatting and interacting with listeners between episodes.
Thanks for being here, friends. We'll talk to you soon. The Mom Hour is brought to you by partners like Chatbooks. Chatbooks makes it beyond easy to create beautiful photo books by importing your digital photos from anywhere. Instagram, Facebook, Google Photos, or directly from your phone. The books come in a variety of sizes with beautiful cover options and binding styles to choose from, and they start at just $15. Plus, we have a great deal just for our listeners. Use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20% off your purchase. Just download the Chatbooks app and use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20%. Megan, you know what I love about our partner, The Essential Calendar? I love the product so much, of course, but I also love that it comes from a small business founded by two moms.
Right, just like us. Listeners, if you're drowning in details right now, like summer camps, travel plans, end of school year mayhem, give yourself the gift of The Essential Calendar, a seasonal, at-a-glance, poster-sized calendar for your wall. Get 10% off your order at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. That's 10% off at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour.